Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
You may recall that as we looked at Genesis chapter 1, we were told that by His Word, in only 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke. And everything that is all around us came into existence. And we're told in Genesis chapter 2 that once the work of His creation was completed, once He had accomplished all that He set out to accomplish, and everything stood in its proper place. Everything was in order. It stood in its perfection. He rested on the seventh day. He rested from all of the work that He had done. He rested, it says, Shabbat in Hebrew. He ceased from His labor, and there was silence in the heavens. What else could He add to perfection? And we're told that all that He had created was good. It was very good, we're told. There was no sin. There was no sickness. There was no decay. There was no fear. And there was no death. There was only peace and perfection. And so He was satisfied with all that He had created. He surveyed His work, and He was pleased. It lacked nothing. It was a perfect world in a perfect universe. And that is why the number 7 is the number of God, because it speaks of His perfection, the perfection of His creation. And so we're told in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, that God pronounced a blessing on the seventh day, on the day that we call Saturday. He set aside that day, but we're not told that He gave any instructions to Adam and Eve to do anything special on that day. But we do know that years later, God commanded the children of Israel to set aside that day each week as a picture of the rest that was needed by each of us, the rest that we find in the Messiah, the spiritual rest that we need in Christ. And so beginning in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 31, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses while Moses was on Mount Sinai, and He said to him, 'Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths.'" Shamer in Hebrew. Keep watch. Take heed to my words. For this is a sign. Oath in Hebrew. This is a witness. This is a testimony between me and you. A testimony throughout all of your generations that you may know and understand that I am the Lord who sanctifies you, kadash in Hebrew, who has set you apart as my people. Therefore, you are to observe the rules and the regulations of the Sabbath day, for it is holy to you. Kodesh in Hebrew. It is a special day. It is a day when you are to dedicate yourselves to following what God has ordained for you in regard to the Sabbath day. And everyone among you who profanes it, Hallel in Hebrew, who defiles that day, that person so surely be put to death. For whoever does any work, melaha in Hebrew, any labor of any kind on that day, that person shall be cut off, God says. Kareth in Hebrew. He shall be cut down and perish from among the people. For 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, there is a Sabbath of complete rest, Shabbaton in Hebrew, of solemn rest, of holy rest, so that the world may know that you have been set apart by me. So you are to dedicate yourselves to the word of God. And then again, in verse 15, God says to Moses, whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. I guess it was a matter of obedience, wasn't it? Or their desire to be obedient. So we are told in verse 16, the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath day to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Olam in Hebrew, as an everlasting word. For it is a sign, God says, a witness, a testimony between me and who? It says, the sons of Israel forever. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. But we are told in verse 17, on the seventh day, he ceased from his work. He rested from his labor and he was refreshed. Nafesh. In Hebrew, he was satisfied with all that he had made. Rest that can only be found in him, in God. Rest that can only be found in the Messiah. Rest that can only be found in Christ. Isn't that what we're looking for? Rest, peace. And that command to observe Saturday as a day of rest is not repeated in the entire New Testament. Why? Because that picture has given way to the reality that is found in Jesus. Where there is rest, where there is spiritual rest, where there is rest from our sin, where there is rest for our soul forever. But some people today still question this idea of the Sabbath. It's still an issue for them. And so they observe Saturday as a day of rest, while others have transitioned the commands given to the children of Israel to Sunday. And so that is their day of rest, not really understanding what was involved in keeping the Sabbath day. Now in verse 14 of Exodus chapter 31, we just read that the seventh day was to be a holy day for the children of Israel. Why? Because God blessed it. He blessed that day. And how did he bless it? Each week, on the seventh day of the week, that day is identified as a memorial, as a testimony to the fact that God created the universe in 6 days. You know, there is no other reason to divide the weeks of the year into groups of seven. Only reason is because of what God has created in 6 days. And then he rested on the seventh day. So every time it is Saturday, it is a reminder that God is the creator of all things. And it is also an opportunity to give thanks to him as our creator. But I wonder if we ever even give this a thought on Saturdays. Saturday is a busy day. And in the same way, every time that it is Sunday, it is a reminder that Christ is our Savior because he rose from the dead on that day. So it is an opportunity to give thanks to him as our Savior, as our Redeemer. Now, when Moses was on Mount Sinai, and he was being told by God that the people were to observe the seventh day as a day of rest, they were waiting at the foot of the mountain to receive these commandments. And in all of these commandments in Exodus and Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, all of them are sometimes referred to as the Old Covenant. And the question that we might ask ourselves is if we are still under the Old Covenant. Are we still under the Sabbath law? Are we still to observe the seventh day of the week the way that the children of Israel were told to observe it? It's a good question. In Exodus chapter 19 and in chapter 20, when God met with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses a series of commandments, 10 commandments, that are his standard of righteousness, a standard for our behavior, a standard for our conduct, a standard for what are to be our priorities in life. Now, the first 3 commandments dealt with our relationship to God, while the last 6 commandments dealt with our relationship to each other. We are commanded to love God perfectly. We're commanded to love each other perfectly. We're not to worship anyone or anything except for God. We're not to profane his holy name by speaking his name except in worship. And then the focus shifts. It shifts to our relationship with each other. We're to honor our father and mother. We're not to quarrel. We're not to hurt one another or murder one another. We are to honor our marriage relationship by not having a relationship with someone other than the one to whom we are married. We're not to lie. We're not to steal. We're not to desire what we do not have. And any failure to keep God's standard of righteousness, we are told in Galatians chapter 3, makes us guilty of violating all of his commandments. And we're told in Deuteronomy 31, 26, that all of these commandments, all of them were written down. And they were written, we are told, as a witness against the people. Why? Because no one was capable of keeping all of these commandments all of the time. In the stubbornness of our hearts and in our rebellion against God, we all fall short, don't we? We all sin. So we all need the grace of God. We all need his forgiveness. But what about that commandment to keep the Sabbath? Surely the children of Israel could do that, couldn't they? Surely they could obey that commandment every week. And if they did not obey that commandment, we are told what would happen? They'd be put to death. That sounds like a strong motivation to keep that commandment. It sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? God is serious about his word. But this was a commandment that was also impossible to keep. People couldn't work their land on that day. They couldn't do any work at all. They couldn't gather food to eat. They couldn't gather wood for a fire. They couldn't kindle a fire. They couldn't cook their food. And perhaps even worse for some of us, they couldn't even order takeout. They couldn't buy or sell anything on that day. The stores were all closed. Every activity of life came to a halt. And if they violated this instruction, this standard of behavior, they would die. It was a day to meditate upon God. It was a day to consider how far short they fell from his divine standards. So from Friday evening until Saturday evening, all that the people could do was to focus on their failures, to focus on their need for the mercy of God, for the grace of God. And as you might expect, this commandment to keep the Sabbath was a burden. It overwhelmed the people. And perhaps they longed for the perfection of the Garden of Eden, where there was no need for this commandment, since Adam and Eve lived in perfect harmony with God. So there was joy. There was peace. There was rest. But the Sabbath was also a day of hope. It was a time to look for the day when the Messiah would come to this earth and bring true joy and true peace and true rest. And so the people lived with the expectation of that day when there would be a new covenant written in their hearts, written in the blood of the Christ of God. But what about us? How are we to see these things? Well, we need to go to the New Testament. We need to go to the book of Hebrews. And we need to go to Hebrews chapter 4 for that answer. And there we are told to wake up to the truth. Wake up. Wake up so that we don't miss the opportunity that is still available to us. The promise that has been given to us to enter into the eternal rest of God, rest through Jesus Christ. How? If we will confess our sin and we will trust in the forgiveness that God offers to us through the death of his Son, then this good news will be our good news. And we will be saved from the wrath of God. But like many people who heard the words of Moses in the wilderness, many today refuse to place their trust in Christ, who will bring eternal rest for our soul as we rest in his work for us on the cross. The truth is, our efforts to justify ourselves are just filthy rags to God. Our work brings death. Our work will kill us. But the work of Christ brings life, eternal life. And as we are told in Psalm 95, by God himself, where he says, in my wrath, in my anger, I swore an oath. I have made a promise that those who do not believe will not enter into my rest. These are frightening words if we do not belong to Jesus Christ. The work is finished. There is nothing left for us to do except to believe. God rested on the seventh day, just as we are told to rest in Christ. So today, if you hear the voice of God speaking to your heart, do not harden your heart. And stay in the wilderness of your sin. Stop trying to work for a salvation that you can never attain by your own efforts. And rest in what he has provided for us. Why will you perish in the wilderness when there is hope, when there is rest, when there is life in Christ Jesus, our Lord?
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.